If you've been in real estate for any period of time, you know the role that the real estate associations, particularly the realtor associations, play in the course of real estate. There's conversations that happen and occur all the time about the commitment level, the work that goes into volunteer leadership or volunteerism when it comes to the realtor organizations, whether you're sitting on a committee, serving on a board of directors, or moving on up from local association to state and national servitude. And I wanted to touch this subject because it comes up so often. And while it's not specifically an IPA, an income producing action, so to speak, we cover a lot of information in this particular episode of the podcast that has to do with the benefits of serving the realtor community from a volunteer aspect, and the benefits that that has on your business. And so when I was really wanting to broach this subject, there really was nobody better that I could think of in having on the show than my good friend Brian Copeland from Nashville, Tennessee. He's currently the Vice President of Association Affairs for the National Association of Realtors. He's a broker, owner, and founder of Doorbell Real Estate in Nashville, Tennessee, and we really have a great conversation about what it means to be involved and give back to the community, but also what you get out of that commitment, out of that volunteerism, out of that being involved and giving up your time back to the realtor associations. So without further ado, my interview with Brian Copeland from Nashville, Tennessee. All right. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Real Estate IPA podcast. Thank you guys for getting back in here and sitting us with another episode. This morning is special for me. I've got a good buddy of mine. Another guest episode here that we've got. So Sean Carpenter sat with us previously, was our first guest on the podcast. And this morning we're going to have Brian Copeland join us. Had some conversations with some folks that were really interested in what it looks like to volunteer and to be really kind of actively involved in real estate association work. And so I wanted to bring Brian in and kind of find out a little bit about not just his real estate story, but Brian is very actively involved in association work and has been for a while. He's currently the Vice President of Association Affairs for the National Association of Realtors. And I'm sure that he is actively involved locally and at the state level still as well. He's also the founder and broker owner of Doorbell Realty. So, or is it real estate? Yeah. Doorbell Real Estate. There we go. There we go. Okay. So Brian, thanks for taking some time this morning and joining us on the podcast. And appreciate you being here, man.
Well, thank you for having me. It's great to be with Smart Minds this morning.
Well, we'll work on that. Hopefully by the end of this, we'll be a little smarter, right? So really, I just wanted to have a conversation this morning, about Brian and your real estate story. You've had a long, successful career in real estate, and you've done a number of things that were very active in the RE.net kind of world back in the many years and blogging and selling real estate. Widely known for a lot of your kind of tech savviness and social savviness as well. But let's kind of start with really just what's Brian's story? What's your real estate story? What got you here to kind of where you are today, perhaps?
Well, I started in the music industry. I moved to Nashville, Tennessee back in the late 90s. I started as a director of publishing for a record label here in Nashville. And I worked there for 9 years. Then once the tide shifted there, I found myself in a place where it's time for a new career. So I worked in the nonprofit sector for a little while and kept going back to real estate. One thing you learn in the music industry is you're not paid what you're worth. So I said, I want to work in a field where I can control my income and I'll be valued for the work I do. And so all roads led to real estate. So got my license there. But I think the key here is with the question is, you know, how did you start? And I think for your listeners today, you need to brand yourself around your marketplace. I see this error all the time, Ryan, all over social media, all over web areas, and you can't find cities that people are in. Cities and states, you may say, oh, I'm in the greater tri-band area. Well, I don't know what that is. So you've got to make sure that if you're in a perimeter metropolitan area, make sure you're branding with that. So I was very conscientious when I started my volunteer journey, when I started my real estate journey, when I started my first volunteer area was in CRS, the Council of Residential Specialists. And everything I put out from the URL of my website to my screen names had the word Nashville in it. Now, you may be sitting here and saying, Brian, I'm not in a Nashville, Tennessee, or a Dallas, Texas, or a brandable city. Then you're going to need to build the brand of your own city at that point. I look at someone like Del Chumbly. I never knew there was any other city in the world called Vancouver. There's a Vancouver, British Columbia that we all know of. And then there's Vancouver, Washington. I will say that Del Chumbly in the real estate space, especially in the technology world, put Vancouver on the map. So now when people say, oh, I'm from Vancouver, I'm like, Washington? And they're like, no, British Columbia. So that's the challenge that you face today sitting here. And if you're going to enter the volunteer world, you've got to learn how to become synonymous with your city and your market, first and foremost.
Absolutely. And I love that you kind of understood that. Now, was there something that led to you understanding that when you got into real estate? Was there something from your previous career? Did you have an aha moment? A doorbell went off somewhere?
No, I would go to these real estate conferences and there was no one from Nashville there. No one. I would go to things with NAR back in 2006. And there was no Nashville presence. And I thought, well, this is an opportunity. Forget my name. I don't necessarily want people to know Brian Copeland. I want them to know me as the Nashville guy. Mm-hmm. And so that was the aha for me, was visiting all these places and saying, wow, we need a Nashville presence here.
Nice. I love that. And so that led you to leveraging that on social media, specifically your marketing. Was there something that you attribute a lot of your kind of maybe early success to as it comes to that marketing that you did, or that aha and really kind of putting that into action or putting that into what we call an IPA, an income producing activity?
Just quality. Making sure that everything, whether it would be a graphic, whether it be a video, and back then, you know, video was just coming out, and just making sure that my videos were lit well, that I wasn't standing in front of a window with backlighting, that the audio was clear. It was a complete quality package. So when people were seeing other people doing things online that were blurry or poorly designed, I wanted to stand up and stand out, even to the point of creating back then animated GIF signatures. And that was a big deal back then. People were like, oh my gosh, your email signature moves. And when you go onto an online forum, your signature, it says Nashville and there's a picture of you and it shows these houses. It was just that full quality that people hadn't seen. So right. For you, if you're listening today, it's like, what am I doing today that I do really well? But what can I do to make it so unique that no one has seen it done that way? And that's hard in this day and age to say, what is the wow factor? But you've always got to keep on asking yourself this question. Is anyone else doing this way? If the answer is yes, go out and find your next blue ocean. And there's a whole thing called red ocean and blue ocean. And the red ocean is where everyone swims, where it's crowded. The blue ocean is where you swim, where you're by yourself. And sometimes that takes you to the edge of discomfort. That's what leadership is, people. Leadership is not following other people doing what they do. Leadership is saying, no one has ever done this before, and I'm being told that I'm crazy for doing it and still doing it anyway. So preach, that's brother. What leadership yes. is, and that's what will lead you to the brand you need to have.
Yes. I love that. I love that. And so when you talk about leadership there and being unique and stepping out, let's kind of segue that into your passion. Obviously, you have some passion around that. what led you to getting involved in realtor volunteerism and seeing yourself as a leader in the industry to the point that you needed to get involved at the association levels?
And my involvement was not strategic at all. Where you hear my branding strategy and all those pieces, my volunteer leadership was haphazard on the way. I never really said, I want to do this. I want to be the president of Tennessee Realtors in 2017. I want to be vice president of the National Association of Realtors in 2019. It was a show up, give quality, and then people approach you. The worst thing you can do if you're wanting to be in leadership is to go around saying, hey, I want to be in leadership. What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? People won't see what you say. They will see and notice what you do. And so I never really said, Ryan, gosh, I want to go do this. I'd won Rookie of the Year for Nashville back in 2006. I sold 62 homes in my first 9 months. And the affordable housing chair came to me for our affordable housing committee. Her name's Alice Walker. And she said, we only give 5 awards every year. And we just gave you one of our 5 awards. What are you going to do for us? And I said, oh, no. And she said, well, why don't you serve on our affordable housing committee? I'm going to be the chair of that next year. And so I served on it. And then started getting involved. Back then, the National Association of Realtors had a thing called 30 Under 30. Mm-hmm. And that was all done by Realtor Magazine. And so Realtor Magazine started this YPN blog. And again, in the RE space, I was known as someone who would write and be articulate in that area. And they asked me to start writing for them. And then that caught the eye of Ron Phipps, who was rising as president of NAR. And from what I understand, he said, gosh, I'm watching this guy and what he says online. And his son, Matt Phipps, became a friend of mine. And then YPN was forming at the national level. So it's just kind of a storm of, Brian, we need you. Brian, we need you. Brian, we need you. And then you wake up one day and you're sitting here going, oh, crap. I didn't realize all this was going to happen.
Yeah. And it's really kind of funny. So some of my story is very similar where, Vicki Fullerton here in the Woodlands in the area was the one who just kept saying, we need young, we need young, we need young. You got to get involved. We need you. Now I didn't win any awards that early in my career or get involved there. I did eventually myself win the top 20 under 40, honor here in Houston. But it's interesting. And that was really kind of my next, at least planned question was kind of what is typically the impetus or what do you recommend, for somebody if they either get asked or if they have kind of that bug in their ear about getting involved, kind of what those steps, look like and kind of what should they think about moving into, at least a start of sitting on a committee or filling out the form when your local association has volunteer signups.
Yeah. And I think the local is the key to everything, is going to that local and saying, where can I be used? There are task forces, there's advisory groups, there are committees, and you say, gosh, I don't want to sit in a committee meeting because it's so boring or we don't do anything. This is about raising your hand and being noticed, showing up and being positive, but still contributing to the conversation. Always looking to say, like today even, you asked me, Brian, tell me your real estate story. Well, what can you do at a committee level that's actually going to help people? For me to tell you my real estate story, you may say, okay, great. I know Brian a little bit better. But that doesn't necessarily help you on your journey. So I have to say, I talked about the branding piece. That was very cognizant on that. So when you're setting these committees, think through, what can I do to make it productive for everyone, not just for me? Know that code of ethics like crazy. I have found that knowledge of the code of ethics has helped me through so many situations. So while that's not volunteerism, that's the core of who we are. If you're in a faith area, whether that be Jewish, Muslim, Christian, whatever, you have a book that you follow. In the realtor world, our faith is the code of ethics. And you need to know it. So that's a huge part of the volunteer area. So to get involved, get at that local, find out what they need. And even if it's something that you say, gosh, I'm not interested in this, you'll be amazed at what the interest level will be.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I love that. And, you know, even for folks who say, I can't really see myself spending a lot of time, you know, doing those things. It's interesting. You get them in and they just get a taste of it, right? They just get a little taste of serving and how fulfilling that ends up really kind of being for them. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, one of the things that I think all of us here and people ask all the time is, how difficult is it? Because it's a huge time commitment in most cases. Right now, there's some things that you can do and serve on that aren't necessarily a huge time commitment. But someone like yourself, who has kind of moved up through the ranks, if you will, and you've committed and been chosen for some pretty high leadership positions, I'll say one, kind of what was that process and what was the time commitment that took for your business over the years, kind of getting into where you are? And then what would be your advice to somebody who is interested or at least thinking about, I want to get involved, but I kind of have a hesitation because of the time commitment?
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of in one question, right? So I'll try to take the elephant one bite at a time. Well, first, I don't think there's a strategy behind leadership. I think that you show up and you do the best you can and see where it leads you. So for you to sit here and say, if you're sitting here today saying, what's my path? I don't think anyone of any quality leadership can give you that answer. I really don't. And that may sound cocky. That may sound evasive. I just don't know of any great leader who could give you their path. And I also don't think leadership is about a top level position. I have been very, very fortunate to be placed at the leadership team level of NAR. Not everyone's going to sit there. I get that. And so you have to say, do I see sitting on the local affordable housing committee as a leadership position? Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. Do you see going into the National Association of Realtors Facebook page, and when someone who does not know anything about real estate advocacy and they're criticizing, and you go in there and you state your point of view, is that leadership? Absolutely. You can actually get more done in leadership in the ranks. I find that when you rise, you're more facilitating and listening and making big level decisions. I miss the ranks. I'm going to tell you, it's a beautiful place to sit where you can sit there and you can affect change and you can say, has anyone thought about this? Oh my gosh, we just had this happen out here in the field and we need to fix this. And being able to have that is a beautiful place to sit. So on your leadership journey, understand step one is wonderful leadership. And that can be at the local level on a committee. And at that point, you need to have a president's mentality and just own that piece and enjoy every single step of the way. I find the worst thing you can do is look over your shoulder and say, what's next? There's mm-hmm. a joy in sitting in the beauty of now. And I looked at this vice presidential year and said, I just want to stop and I want to breathe every inch of it in because it's only going to come one time.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, I love that you say that because I think that there's probably a misconception that in order to really get anything done, you have to be committee chair or, you know, you have to move up to become on the executive board of directors or, you know, all of that kind of stuff. And I've seen over the years, and you just said it as well, I think that some of the times where I felt that I was most effective in my service was when I was just simply a member of a committee and I chose not to really kind of sit in the back of the room and let the other people who have done it for a couple of years kind of run the show. I don't think it's any secret that I'll speak my mind. I'll ruffle some feathers and I'll make my feelings or my thoughts known. And, you know, in some cases that hasn't necessarily paid off fully, but in other cases it really has. And it's benefited not just me, but, membership as well. And I think that if we go into this knowing and feeling as though, every voice needs to be heard, and every person in the room is just as important as the next, that when somebody considers, or at least starts moving in that direction, whether you're sitting on a committee or you're thinking about putting your hat, your name in the hat to chair a committee or vice chair a committee, that every voice does matter. And that is a great place to start. That is a great entree to leadership, which is kind of what I like to call it. And my service in YPN has really kind of led me to feel that for anybody who's on the younger end of the spectrum and is deciding to get involved, YPN is a great, great place to get involved. And that's really that entree to leadership for a lot of folks. But just knowing that every voice matters and every person in the room probably has a good idea. And so we need to really be open to that. And as an individual, don't go in there thinking this is my first time that I've ever served on a committee. I need to kind of sit back and see how this goes before you truly get involved and make your thoughts and your feelings known.
Absolutely.
So what do you get most from your service? You've given us a little bit of that passion and that feeling that I you know, we all can hear in your voice and see here on the video. But what do you truly get most from your service, Brian?
You know, that's it's intrinsic and it's extrinsic at the same time. I look, when I go to the extrinsic areas, my children, I have a 7-year-old and a 5-year-old. And through leadership, they have got to meet some of the most amazing people in the world. And I always say this, I think realtors are the homecoming queens and homecoming kings of every community. And everyone wants to be with the homecoming
leaders.
Yeah. Everyone wants to be with the homecoming queen and the homecoming king. And it's a group of viral happy people. Oh my gosh. And when you're around great, happy, wonderful people, it just breeds it. And to have my kids to be experiencing some of the most happy, positive, healthy people has been an amazing, unexpected reward. My kids will tell you they know how to pronounce the word realtor. They will correct you if you say realtor. They know how to say it. They know. My son went to Portland with me last week to the Broker's Edge program, and to see him, 7 years old, stand up in a group of people when they were going around the room and saying, "My name is Micah Copeland. I am Brian Copeland's son, and I'm from Nashville, Tennessee." To hear say that in the confidence, that's an extrinsic piece that wasn't expected.
Mm-hmm. I met him in Chicago last year?
Probably. He's everywhere.
Yeah, at the Bowling Alley. Yeah.
he's everywhere. I believe in, especially if you'll be a young leader, you need to find a way to appropriately involve your children. Obviously, I don't want you to bring your screaming 3-year-old to a dinner, but if they can behave on certain levels, you know, it's rare that I do take them to official events. It's more the social things I'll take them to. But I think that as a young level leadership area, we have to think about how do we integrate our children. It also, when I look at you, back to the question of the motive, what do I get out of it? And this is the tough one. And I'll just be very candid with you. This world is so tough. There are people in the perimeter who will eat you alive. Mm-hmm. They will eat you alive. They're going to use things. You could say one thing. I could say to you, "Hey, Ryan, I love your glasses." And by the time it gets to the sixth person, it says, "Brian called Ryan a four-eyed jerk." What? And you go back so many times to the eighth grade where you're sitting there going, "What? What's going on here?" So, I can say that this world has made me a lot tougher, tougher in a way that I didn't want to be, but unfortunately it comes with the territory.
Yeah.
It's also made me a better human, a better spouse to my spouse, a better father to my children, because the way I approach things now, I used to be a person who jumped to conclusions on everything. And when I heard things, I would say, "Ryan, you said this," as opposed to saying, "So Ryan, I want to talk a little bit about this. What's your understanding of what happened here?" And then you give me your side, and I'm like, "Not what I heard." So it gives me a better approach to things. And so, you know, while leadership isn't about your family, for me, it's what's made me, it's grown me up to the level I need to be the father, man, and community leader I need to be.
Yeah. Well, and also I would venture to say from a business perspective, it has created family, right? I mean, your business family, has grown exponentially. I know mine has over the years of being involved. And so that was going to kind of be my final piece, because I think in the back of the minds of folks who consider, you know, getting involved is, if I'm going to invest all of this time, this energy, I'm going to use my voice, I'm going to use my talents, my skills, my, you know, energy again, and some money, right? Because I'm going to pay to go to conferences, or I'm going to put gas in the car to drive to committee meetings and such. What's going to come out of it for me, you know, business wise? And first I'll answer, because you said part of it there, which is the family. I've met some of the most amazing people, on the planet by being involved. And those have turned into referrals, not just for home sales, but, you know, for me who, go speak at conferences and get involved in some other things business wise. But, you know, expanding your horizons and looking at the opportunities that arise from coming to the table and being involved. But what else would you say, other than perhaps just those referrals from a business perspective, has been a return for you, for being involved?
It's interesting. Scott Pinella, who's in Louisville, Kentucky, asked a question on Facebook this morning and said, would you rather be a big fish in a small pond or a small fish in a big pond? And my answer was a big fish in a big pond. Mm-hmm. And you say, well, gosh, that's a big old ego.
That wasn't one of the questions.
But, you know, I look and say the people you get to run with make you a better leader and better business person. And you see their humanity side. You see amazing brokers like John Smaby in Minnesota, who is our president this year. And I didn't really know him that well. And over the past 18 months, to the point where he goes to bed at 8 o'clock at night. And on Christmas Eve, I had Micah a drum set and it wouldn't fit under the tree. So we had to put it downstairs. And so I'll wake John up and say, I need you to call my voicemail and say, this is Santa. And he has this Santa voice. He does.
He does.
And it was for Micah, you know, for him to, but I woke John up and he was willing to do that. I look at like Elizabeth Mendenhall, who was president last year. Micah's biological, my children are adopted. Mm-hmm. Micah's biological mother passed away 2 years ago. And I had to drive him to the funeral. And then I had to drive all night to get home. And Micah was sleeping in the back seat. And all night long, Elizabeth Mendenhall sat on the phone with me and drove me home. Mm. That's quality people.
Yeah.
Those are people who show you not only what business is about, but what being quality humans about. And when you can love on a buyer, or you can love on a seller or investor or an appraisal client or a commercial client that same way, and show them and reflect the love that you've seen from these top end leaders, that's what will ultimately actualize you. If you're sitting here today listening, going, I just feel lost. I don't know what I want to do with my life. I feel lost in my business. Sometimes you have to go through different kinds of coaching programs. You can sit down with someone like Ryan, who's will give you great advice. You can listen to this, but you've also got to go on a self-discovery level that says, I'm not just going to listen to it on a podcast, but I'm going to go get out and put it into action. Because your tendency is to sit home in your pajamas, and your tendency is to be fearful of what you can do. But when you start running in that bigger pool of people of higher quality, it's going to make you say there's so much more to life, and it will take your business to another whole level.
Man, I'm going to put that on replay for so many people, because
only 1999.
So often, right? I hear so often, why do you hang out with so many other realtors, right? You're mm-hmm. a realtor. You're not going to sell a house to another realtor. Why do you hang out with so many other realtors? Mm-hmm. And you just put it right in a box, man. And we're going to wrap that. We're going to replay that for a lot of people, because, you know, that's it. I mean, this industry can be so brutal. And at the same time, you just really wrapped up why, so many of us that get into the business, we stay forever and we love it, because of those relationships. And obviously the return on that from a business perspective is, if you're becoming a better person, you're going to have a better business.
Well, let's talk about numbers. Okay. Last weekend, I bound $1.5 million worth of contracts from NAR referrals.
There you go.
Okay. Straight from, if you go right now into the We Are CRS page, there's a question there about Tennessee. Every single person tagged my name in there. Every single one, unless it's changed in the last 10 minutes. there is money in what we do. Yep. And it is, you can put, like I have in my Sky Slope systems I use, it actually sets you a tracking. And I can track every single NAR involvement referral I have. And it's kind of got to the point where it's like 75%. It's kind of like, whoa. And so it's reminding me, I got to step back and work my own sphere because I've started to lean too much on that. But there's absolute referral traffic there, but don't do it for that reason. I didn't do it for that reason. And it just happens. So do it for the reasons of intrinsic value. Put the referral traffic on the side. It'll come, but you can't expect it.
Yeah. So, if you're not doing it for the referral business, you're doing it for everything else that we talked about. How does somebody get started?
Well, as we said earlier,
fill out the volunteerism form, find somebody to ask.
I wouldn't go to the national level immediately. I mean, that's where a lot of younger professionals mess up. They think, okay, I'm going to go apply for a national committee. Your local needs you. That's where it really starts. And you may say that's not sexy. That doesn't get me business. Absolutely. It's where the foundation is. And more happens at that local level than anywhere else. So this is now committee application time, likely at your local. Go to the website, search for it. If it's not there, pick up the phone, call them and say, how do I get involved? If they cannot tell you how, then you find the president or a lay leader and say, what can I do?
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Absolutely. And I love that idea. And, you know, I think anybody who's paid attention to anything in politics, you know, the age old saying is if you really want to get anything done, start local, right? Like get involved at the school board level if you really want to affect your community. So I agree. And don't be scared to go to the larger conferences. Go to the NAR conferences, mingle, meet, shake hands. If you are on the MLS committee locally, find other people who are on MLS committees at their local association. Go sit in the MLS committee at the national level. Get a perspective of the larger picture though, right? So while you're involved locally, and a lot of the effect that you're going to have is going to happen locally, go get a perspective and a picture of the larger level. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I was, I went to my first NAR meeting. It was in Las Vegas, Nevada. I knew no one. The host hotel was the Venetian. I didn't have the money to stay at the Venetian. I stayed at the Golden Nugget for $35 a night. I walked out in the lobby and it was nicotine hell. I would walk in Vegas, it's 110 degrees. I would walk to the Venetian, which was about an hour walk because I couldn't afford a taxi and we didn't have Uber at that point. I couldn't have afforded that anyway either. And while I'd sold a lot of real estate, I was still making sure that I was using my money well. So to invest in something like that was hard. And then I walked into like this room of 40,000 or this convention of 40,000 people. It was like freshman orientation at the University of Texas. it was intimidating, but you have to step out. You have to get out, that comfort, out of your comfort zone and just do it. So, and you don't have to do it. You know, as you said, you know, you can just go listen. And I remember going and saying, I don't know any of these people. I don't know where to go. And I saw a lady sitting at a, and she was in a class with me. I saw her sitting in the Venetian area and I said, where do I go? What do I do? And she got that book out and just was like, well, I hear this person's good. And that's where I started. It started that simply, just a Golden Nugget hotel and the program book.
Nice, nice. This year we'll be in San Francisco for annual.
Yes.
I'm excited.
With Pentatonics as our entertainment, which I'm so excited.
That is exciting, yes.
Yeah, so yeah. And we've got so many great things planned. It's just going to be an amazing time in San Francisco.
We do. I've started to see some of the things come through, and I'm chair of Residential Economic Issues and Trends Forum, and we're going to kind of stir it up and do something a little bit different this year than is typically done during the forum. So, if you are listening to this and you haven't considered going to San Francisco for NAR annual, It is November 3rd through the 9th, if I have those dates correctly. I don't have them written down, but it's somewhere in around there, that first week of November. So get onto the NAR website and take a look at that information and get out there. Yeah, if you've got to stay in an Airbnb to afford it, then do that. But I truly believe that you're right. Just showing up is a big piece of the puzzle to getting involved, to seeing change. I mean, we see folks fussing, complaining, forums all day long. You know, be the change, get involved. My final question, Brian, for you is, how does anybody get in touch with Brian Copeland if they would like to have a minute of your time?
Well, I think one of the powers of being able to do anything is saying no. So if somebody were to call me, honestly, I couldn't take, you know, if there were 30 calls coming in off of my phone numbers, I just can't take those right now. And I think that's part of leadership and time management is being able to say, and the reason I believe in giving other ways, I do a big conference every year in Nashville for these very reasons. 1,500 people come to it. It's in April of every year. And it gives a time for me to give that time one-on-one. So I think to say, oh yeah, call me at this number, that's probably not going to be the best way to reach me.
Yep.
Email's always best. Brian at Nashville and Beyond.com or Brian@doorbellrealestate.com. I'm really good with email typically. Get involved with me on Facebook. Comment on stuff. Get to know me there. I'm just not a good phone person. I'll just tell you.
Not a good phone person. That's what I was looking for, because yeah. I think in today's social days, most people just have a hard time, you know, taking time out of their day or picking up the phone, and, you know, you're walking from one appointment to another, and a text or a Facebook message is so much easier. And I'll be honest with you, I'd much rather have a 3-day long Facebook message with somebody versus a quick 10-minute phone call, because I think you can accomplish so much more. Not to say that there isn't any value in hearing somebody's voice. I mean, but you know, before we hopped on this right here, I don't know the last time I've actually heard your voice other than on a video on Facebook or something like that.
Yeah. When I think phone time is reserved for buyers and sellers.
Yeah.
I mean, one of my scripts is when I get a phone call, because I answer every phone call that comes through. We get so many telemarketing calls, and you get that, hi, is Brian Copeland there? Yes, this is Brian. Are you a buyer or seller today? Well, I'm actually calling to tell you about this product. Today, we're talking with buyers and sellers only on the phone today. Thank you so much for your time. If you want to send anything over, the email is brian@nashvilleandbeyond.com. You know, so you got to be a good steward of your phone time, and phone time's for buyers and sellers and referral agents.
I love that. Yeah, it's one of the big things that we talk about in our coaching program is productivity and how to really
not necessarily
manage your time, but manage your activities. And if you're answering the phone and it's not a productive activity, then it's a waste of time, right? It's not worth it. So, do you have anything else before we wrap? That's just
oh no, thank you. It's been a good morning. I've got inspection termite contingency to work on as we hang up here. So that's what I'm doing next, and then I'm going to look through a duplex for an investor. And then we have a YPN trivia night tonight. That's my day today. So that's what I'm off doing. Thanks, Ryan, for having me today.
Excellent. Well, thanks for taking the time this morning to hop on and share with us a little bit about your story, about your passion in serving the real estate community and the realtor community specifically. And guys, if you want to get a hold of Brian, I will put his email address and his social handles in the show notes. Until next time, folks, thank you so much for tuning in. Today, tomorrow, and every day, go do your IPA. All right. One final shout out and thanks to Brian Copeland of Doorbell Real Estate in Nashville, Tennessee, and your National Association of Realtors Vice President of Association Affairs for coming on and really helping us understand more about what it's like to be a volunteer leader in your realtor association. If you'd like to connect with Brian, his contact info and social media handles will be in the show notes. And as usual, we'll drop a hint here for realestateipa.com. Hey, so you probably already know by now, but we have a wonderful daily exclusive coaching community that we call realestateipa.com. Every morning you get an IPA, an income producing action that is guaranteed to affect your business. These are time-tested, proven income producing actions and personal growth activities that will help you do more business, be more effective and efficient in your day, and make more time for the important things in your life. For more information about our group coaching or private coaching, as well as brokerage consulting, head on over to realestateipa.com. That is realestateipa.com. Thanks again, guys, for being here, for being a supporter of the show. Smash that subscribe button and give us a thumbs up or a star, depending on which podcast software or app you use. And in wrapping the show, as we say, today